I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre Dublin, Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, fivetimes.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. Fivetimes.co.
Welcome to Five Times Podcast here at the Hilton in Liverpool. Always feels much better after a derby win doing something like this. I think you can tell from the laugh. I've got a well hungover Alan Kennedy with me. He's obviously enjoyed the night.
Sorry, what did you say there?
A well hungover Alan.
The closest you get.
And you can guess. I'm sure you can guess from that comment the legend that is Mr. Roy Evans, who was. The Perriers were at the game last night, weren't you?
Yeah. And I was down by the all the Everton fans. And
Why?
Because that's where our seats were.
Is that where the ticket was?
The former Players Association.
Oh, of course it is. I know where you're down there. Yeah. In the corner. Yeah.
And we were right there.
Main
and
stand.
We had David Fairclough's son, lovely, nice lad.
Yeah, good lad.
No, he's not, Roy. He was an.
He's not as nice as his daughter.
He was a hooligan last night. He was goading those Everton fans, and they were taking the bait. And then my son joined in beside me, Andrew. So he joined in, and it was pretty.
You must have followed that.
No, I did because I didn't know what they were saying, but I could understand the actions they were doing. But it was
like, give us a clue.
It was great, when Joe had scored the first goal and he came over towards us, like he was doing especially for us. It was wonderful and. Great night, and really enjoyed it.
So you watched from the floor, and I watched from the
sky. Well, Mr. Evans, yeah. Where were you watching it from?
I was from the gantry and the camera.
In the gods,
yeah. In the gods, yeah. But good view.
Cold?
No, actually, it wasn't. I wrapped up, had skins on everywhere, but no, I was okay.
What's the story with that gantry? Although every time I speak to him, he moans about it. You've got to go like sort of onto the roof and around the back in a longer.
You have to go up two ladders and down another ladder, and it's quite difficult to get there, to be fair. I mean,
it's like the Krypton factor.
Obviously, I've gone a long way in my career since, like, the manager now. I'm now, like, climbing up Gantry.
Well, now you are right at the top, aren't you? You've gone the top.
But if you wanted to watch it, it was a great place to watch it, and brilliant night.
So let's start with the game, then. There's no better place to start there. Obviously, great result. I think off the back of the Villa performance, a much improved performance. Clean sheet, plenty of positives. Anything really stick out for you, Al?
Well, I think everybody, first of all, did their part. You know, it was going to be tough early on, wasn't it? Because they were going to come at you and try and upset you and you know, maybe steal the first goal. But I thought Liverpool coped with it quite well. And once they took the lead, you know, through Gerrard, I thought, you know, yeah, if they can get a second, that would be nice, like, you know. And then they just overrun them. I felt a little bit sorry for Everton.
No, oh,
I didn't.
Shut up.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Pause that. We'll edit that out.
But you know, you've got to kick on from there, and that's exactly what they did. They were relentless at the time, and they were good in every position. You know, certain players will stand out, but I thought the whole team played really well.
I think if you look at the game, or before the game, and you look at the two teams, obviously the game is based a lot around obviously the derby bragging rights and stuff, but there was more to it than that, because both teams doing fantastically well this season and both going for that fourth place Champions League,
which is great to see, isn't it?
Which is fantastic to see. And you look at the way Roberto Martinez has gone in there, it's much more of a free flow, and Everton, they seem to be enjoying the football. They've got results, they've been brilliant at home, but the away record has certainly stood out as well. I think it's 4 victories and 6 draws away from home with some exciting players back. I know Roberto sort of talked it down with all the injuries and stuff, so we weren't too sure about the team sheets. When you seen the two team sheets, did you think it was going to pan out the way it was, or did you think there was still enough in Everton's team to trouble Liverpool?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, obviously, derby matches, you never really know the outcome.
Is that because the form book goes out the window?
I think the form does go out the window, and to be fair, we had a fair amount of injuries as well. I mean, it wasn't just Everton, but overall, on the night, I thought we coped with ours a lot better. It was one of the best performances for me for a long time, because I've been worried about us defensively. We've been poor, but last night we defended as a unit. Started up the front, the back lads kept in the position. For me, from the start of the game, Liverpool pressed Everton high up the pitch. They won the ball off them. They really didn't let Everton get into the stride. And once, they had three or four chances before they scored, some good saves from Tim Howard. Once they got ahead, then they pressed on. And I thought they controlled the game really well throughout. Yeah, maybe they could have gone for more. Maybe they could have been a bit more ruthless. But they were just trying to catch them on the counter-attack. And for me, that was a great way to beat them, and a great night for Liverpool.
I think against Aston Villa, I think it's fair to say, I think Brendan may have, well, I think I personally think he got the tactics wrong. I think they were very forward thinking, weren't they? As if it was a bit of a lack of respect for Villa and the way they play on the break. You know, Glenn Johnson, Sissoko were bombing on.
Yeah.
Stephen was in that new position, a bit new to it, couldn't really handle Wiseman and the pace of Agbonlahor. Did you think last night the fullback stayed a lot more? Do you think tactically he did get it right? Do you think the Villa game played a part in that?
Well, to be fair, Flanagan coming in at right back, I thought
it was exceptional, wasn't it?
He really was, like, you know, and Sissoko does a job there, you know, but you know, Flanagan can play anywhere, you know, he's left or right back. But what in the Aston Villa game, I thought Gerrard was so isolated in that midfield. He was trying to do everything. When they scored their second goal, Wiseman scored the goal. Gerrard was there with him. He should not be in the box, like, you know. It should be more of a unit. I thought we were poor against Aston Villa, but as I said before, we were great, against Everton. I thought we really controlled the game, and Gerrard was at the forefront of everything. That was the key to it.
But I think I agree with you entirely, though. At the end of the day, Steven Gerrard, I think I've never been a great fan of it, but last night he proved that he can play there and still affect the game. Normally, if he plays that deep for me, he's just passing it around. It's like easy possession. But last night's game, I thought he did influence the game. In the Villa game, Sissoko, to be fair, his position is so far up the pitch.
Yeah.
Every time the ball breaks down, the danger area is going down the right hand side of the opposition.
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard had to go across there a couple of times against Villa and got caught out.
Mm.
But to be fair, Sissoko, his position sense wasn't brilliant again. He still liked it, but it was better. When we lost the ball, he was more.
They were deeper, weren't they?
And he let the forward players do the closing down. So as a unit, defensively, we were far better.
Just going back to the Bournemouth game as well. Sturridge and Suarez did a defensive role. Do you remember on the right hand side? You know, when it was overpowering, they were coming down their left hand side. I thought they did a really good job there, and they worked really, really well.
I think Raheem Sterling's got to be mentioned in that note as well, because the amount of times he did help John Flanagan out by doubling up his defensive qualities and duties last night certainly didn't go amiss.
Yeah.
He was back there defending.
I thought he was absolutely brilliant, the lad, to be fair, in his attitude. And I think that's a big problem. I still like to see him have a bit more confidence. When he's free and he's got one-on-ones, really like say, okay, what am I going to do? He tends to get it and go, what am I going to do? And he starts looking for the likes of Luis Suarez and Sturridge. Sometimes you've got that space behind, as a fullback. You don't want him to go and take you on.
That's right.
The pace he's got, just be a bit more positive, final ball a bit better. But his attitude last night, he got back, he defended. I thought he was absolutely terrific last night. He made mistakes. He missed a couple of chances. But at the same time, if he kept going in there, and eventually it's going to come right for him. I think he's going to be a great asset for us.
I just want to go off a little bit, just because we've mentioned it, but we'll go back to the game. The Steven Gerrard position, the playing deep. Obviously, he's gone deeper from this more forward role because people are saying, oh, it's going to save his legs, he's not going to do more running, maybe he can affect the game better from that deeper position. Would you like to see him further forward? Do you think he does as much running further forward? I personally don't think he does a lot more running when he's in that further forward position. I think Jordan Henderson's the one that helps him out by filling in when they lose the ball. I think he does he's the engine, Jordan Henderson.
I think he finds more space in the position he's got now.
Okay.
And I think he's taken on a big responsibility, even against...
Because it's a big role, Al, isn't it?
It is a big
defensive
role.
Defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
People think it's an easy position, but it's not, is it?
Yeah. But if you've got players around you, I thought Coutinho worked really hard. I thought he did really well. I thought Henderson worked, you know, his socks off and did his little bit. So I thought it was pretty good.
Like, okay, then. If he was isolated against Villa, and unfortunately it wasn't a great performance by
first
Steven in that role.
It's the first time he's been asked to do that.
What was the difference then last night? Was he not left isolated last night by Henderson and Coutinho?
He definitely wasn't.
So it was down to them.
Everybody else was doing it.
I agree with that. Everyone was doing it again. But Villa made a point of saying, if you're going to try and go deep in the ball, we're going to close you down quickly. And they put actually men in and about Steven Gerrard against Villa. So he didn't.
But did Everton not do that last night with Barkley?
Everton didn't get a chance to do that because we pressed them higher up the pitch.
Yeah, okay.
And we won the ball higher up the pitch. So there was never really an issue when Steven was in his possession behind him. Everton was trying to get back to stop Sturridge, Sterling, Suarez, obviously. So it didn't turn out. It turned out to have a nice balance about the team yesterday, which there wasn't that against Villa.
Yeah. And you know who makes it sometimes? Suarez. His possession is unbelievable. I saw him tackling back a couple of times, chasing midfield players back into an area. Yeah. He never gives up, never stops.
That's what makes you the complete player, isn't it? It's what you do when you haven't got the ball as much as what you do when
you've got it. But he's telling other people where to go. And he's reading situations.
Do you think he tells him in... who's he play for? Uruguay.
Uruguay, yeah.
Is that Uruguayan then? Yeah. Do you think he tells him in Uruguayan, or do you think he speaks English?
I think he gesticulates more than anything. I think
is
he
that
really,
me in hand? Yes.
Yeah,
hands, is that me in hand? Are they the things you were doing to the Everton fans?
Yeah, yes.
He's certainly got his point over to Sturridge, I think.
I think that leads me brilliantly on to...
It
was the Daniel Sturridge show first half.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fair to say his two goals were a brilliant ball from Coutinho for his first. Yeah. There was never in any doubt, was it, when he took that touch into the box, he was going to score.
That's right.
His second was fantastic because to that technique with a keeper running out with the ball with the slippery pitch to lob it over the keeper and put it in the corner, fantastic.
Yeah.
But then we've seen, would it be fair to say, an ugly side to Daniel Sturridge's?
I wouldn't say an ugly side. It's a natural side again.
Inexperienced side.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even go inexperienced. What I'd say is. The problem is we put so much kudos on a hat-trick these days.
Don't speak Dutch. What's kudos mean?
Everyone wants to say a hat-trick is the best that you can get. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know, it is, and
six different people scored goals.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's on a hat-trick and Stephen gives him the penalty. He misses it. Okay, he should forget about it and get on with it. The next time, then he goes into the box and you start doing the wrong thing because you're trying to get the hat-trick.
Yeah.
If the ball's on for Suarez, then you play it. If you think you've got a chance of scoring, then that's fine. Just make the right decision. Not because you're on a hat-trick. Because if Gerrard takes the penalty, he's on a hat-trick. He squares it to Suarez, he's on a hat-trick. Then you've got like players really wanting to score goals. So you just sometimes make the wrong decision because of this hat-trick thing that we have about him. But saying that, let's not look at the negative side. What a fantastic effort he put in and his movement. Because Everton then thought we've got to close Liverpool down a bit. Space came behind and he worked that space fantastically.
Well, I think, being at the club and obviously spending a lot of time around Robbie, I've heard Robbie tell us a few stories about, you know, him wanting to score goals and please everybody. And he tells this story about when he scored five, was it against Fulham? And he said he had a really big head and he come into the dressing room and he thought he was going to get everyone patting him on the back, and everyone. He said all I remember is Ronnie Moran coming up to him saying, "You should have had six, you spotty little bastard." Should he soon come back down to earth?
That's what you learn at Liverpool, isn't it?
So I think Daniel will certainly learn. And I think we just have to touch on it as well, the penalty. I mean, I'm not a big fan of this take the penalty because you're on a hat-trick. Your penalty taker is your penalty taker.
Right.
I think Steven Gerrard, I think maybe need maybe a little... Wayne is here there just to say, next time a fan, you take that
because
penalty.
It's
a nice gesture from Steven, and he was.
It's a nice gesture, but we're not in the nice. We're there to win the game.
He seems to be in the week where he's given a lot away, isn't it?
Yeah, there's 96,000. It was a big, fantastic donation.
We'll talk about that later. But
at the end of the day, he made a decision. Okay, we're in a position where he could. Fortunately, we were 4-0 up at the time, or whatever. So, it's the wrong decision. Didn't go right. But at the end of the day,
would you have stuck by your decision even if it had scored?
No, I would
always want the penalty.
Yeah, I always want the penalty.
You want the penalty taker. You want your top penalty taker, Gerard.
In whatever situation, I don't care.
Last 2 minutes, if you're 6-0 up.
Yeah,
I might think about it.
You can't change your mind now.
No.
I've just said in any situation you went. Any situation.
Yeah.
But if we're 6-0 up,
yeah, maybe.
In the last minute
has been done,
so you would change it.
Yeah,
but I don't like it.
No, you can't. Your penalty taker takes it in the last minute if you're 7-0 up. Unless it was you that was taking it.
But if it was 0-0, who would you take the penalty? It would be Gerard. Yeah. Gerard, his record is better than anybody. So, you know, but disappointment, yeah. But, you know.
And his reaction coming off, do you think he was taken off because he's just back from injury? It was no need for him to be on the pitch anymore. There's a lot of games coming up. It's important he is still in rehabilitation and coming through, even though he's played, he'll still be protecting that injury. Is that why he came off last night?
Yes. Yeah, I think he's come off because of, you know, Brendan felt as though he wanted to change it. He wanted to change it. You know, there's nothing to do with, like, you know, he scored two, he's missed a penalty, he should have scored another goal. I don't think it's got anything to do with it.
But devil's advocate, if I said to you, Gaffer, right, we're 4-0 up with 25 minutes to go, and you've got three subs, who would you have brought off last night? I think you would have said maybe Steven and Suarez.
Suarez does not want to come off full stop.
No.
Okay. I'm not saying any of the players do, but he wants to play all the minutes, and that's the way that the guy is.
Okay.
Absolutely brilliant as a role model in that side of his football. Brilliant. As a manager, you just do what you think is right at the time. Daniel was starting to get a little bit frustrated with himself because he missed a penalty. He was then like, okay, him and Suarez. He defused the situation, bring him off, put somebody else on. It's no big deal at the end of the day. Whether he's keeping him for the next game or whatever.
Well,
as long as he don't make a big issue to the media and whatever. I brought him off because of, you know, he made a couple of mistakes. Just think of where he got us in that game. As I say, because he was sensational. The two goals were top class.
But they were good balls as well, weren't they? They were caught out. They were caught square at the back, weren't they? And the ball over the top. I thought he finished that so well.
If you're not a goal scorer, I mean, I'm not even sure whether he knew where Tim Howard was.
Yeah, he did. He looked. I've looked on the telly. I've seen it on the telly. He looks. With your eyesight now, it's like you're knackered.
I mean, just to see him and the technique was fantastic. It was great. But to get himself in that position again, he's player.
And just, I mean, I was touching on it there, you know, how important the game was going for Champions League. I think we see Spurs play City tonight, and I think everyone would maybe go for Manchester City, but it was an important result for Liverpool in the sense of keeping them in there as well, because it gives them a little bit of breathing space now over Everton. You're hoping City beats Tottenham, so over Tottenham as well, because you're looking at Everton and Tottenham being the two rivals for that place, aren't you?
Well, Man United won't be far away. I know they're only six points behind, but they're still in there.
You've got Rooney back, Van Persie back, Van Matten now as well.
Yeah, they'll start winning games. They've still got a decent squad, but yeah, I mean, it's nice to have that little cushion, isn't it? You know, but you know, we need one of the top teams to slip up. You know,
Arsenal slipped up last night.
Southampton have been a difficult team to beat. Arsenal would probably think, okay, it's a point.
But you would have took Arsenal before that game.
Well, you'd always think Arsenal are going to beat most of the teams the way they play, but you know, give Southampton the due this season. They've been very solid.
Yeah.
And you know, difficult to beat.
Well, talking of Arsenal, was it what kind of a reaction was it when the balls come out? Not your balls, Al, did.
Yeah.
Balls.
Okay.
I can see your mind working all the time there, Al.
It's the FA Cup, isn't it? It's the FA Cup, and you've got to expect to play anybody on the day.
As a gaffer, how do you approach this game now? Liverpool, obviously, desperate for that fourth place. Do you go guns blazing down there to try and win it?
We've got a couple of games before that, to be fair. I mean, we've got
West Brom on Sunday.
We've got to play Arsenal.
Yeah, in the league.
In the league, I think you start thinking about that game until then. You do take, it's a cliche, but you do take each game at a time. You know, you don't know who's going to come back from injury, who's going to get injured, whatever it is. So you have to be careful. But the approach for me has got to be always more or less the same. It's like we went out last night, but we all went to that game last night thinking, I'm not sure. We haven't been defending.
Yeah.
but then we've been attacking. And I think, well, have we got enough to beat Everton? And we were all like a little bit on edge. And, but we went out with, they went out, and the players went out with the right attitude. They put Everton under pressure. They started to control the game.
What's more important, the league fixture, which is the week before the FA Cup fixture? You know, which one's more important? Because to win in the league, you know, that's what we want. You know,
yeah,
to
get.
You know,
but you're going on. But for me, I understand what you're saying. You're starting to like talk like the managers now, saying, okay, Champions League rules the world.
Yeah.
Premier League starts to rule the world.
Yeah.
We had the greatest cup competition of all time.
Yeah.
Still a great competition. If you're in it, I think you've got a time. But it's certainly at this stage.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you played two or three games in 10 days. It's not unheard of, by the way.
I think the good thing about it as well, being the tie. I know obviously you'd rather be at home.
Yeah.
And probably against it. Being disrespectful a team from a lower division or something, maybe that would be the
you'd rather get a bye, it'd be great, yeah.
I don't think we had a bye since 1923, have we? But obviously, go playing Arsenal once before down there,
yeah,
at the Emirates,
yeah,
Emirates. Would we have learned something from that performance? Because it was probably one of Liverpool's worst performances this season, wasn't it?
Yeah, they overrun Liverpool on that occasion.
So, will it be a different approach? It'll have to be a different approach.
Definitely,
yeah.
You know, I think the team is building in confidence. I really do. Even the players.
It was an early season game, wasn't it?
Second or third game of the season.
And I got the impression when we went there, it was very much we were free flowing, scoring goals, attacking, and Brendan just went right, go on, just attack them and have a go, and we got caught out, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think you're right with that, Jason. I think if you go back to some of our recent performances as well, we got the stage where we went playing Stoke. Stoke get back in the game, well, we can go and score goals.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem you get with it, the whole team thinks we're an attacking team. You know, you've got Sissoko, playing outside left.
John O'Bonham.
You know, first and foremost, do the job you're on the pitch to do, which is defend. Obviously, full-backs have an attacking role and things. But just get that thing that we're an attacking team. But on an attacking team, we can't afford to give certainly goals away against the big teams. We've got to make sure we defend better, which we did last night. And if you can keep that defensive quality of the whole team with the attacking options that we've got, then we are a force to reckon with.
Everybody has to be on the game, though, Roy. Yes. Every player, you know, one or two have not been found wanting, but they haven't been at the top of their game.
Well, like Coutinho last night for me came back a little bit. He's been having a little bit of a spell where he's not quite been at his best. I think he's a great player. I love the way he plays.
Yeah.
Last night he looked full of beans. He looked to be wanting to play.
Did. Yeah.
Again, some of the little balls he put through, he looked more or less back to his best.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him just start scoring a few goals.
Yeah.
Transfer market then. The window's still open until Friday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Liverpool looks like, well, they've lost the Salah deal, haven't he? Signed to Chelsea.
That was a big shame. I really, honestly, thought they would have got something. A Champions League lad, you know.
You've got to think, though, Al, you got to look at the player. I always think you've got to look at the player when that happens, because you'd fancy him playing at Liverpool most weeks.
Yeah.
He's gone to Chelsea.
Yeah.
He's probably not going to play a lot of first-team football there for a couple of seasons, maybe. Obviously, it's London. Obviously, the price, the money they're paid. And you just think,
London,
well, maybe
London,
maybe
London
you've
is,
got away with it.
London is an attraction to
players.
Exactly.
I found that, didn't you?
To, you know, obviously, foreign players, London, that'd be, obviously, I haven't played at Liverpool as well, but London is like the place.
Bright lights, isn't it? Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm always amazed with this window. I mean, to be fair to Basel, they said that he was always going to be a Liverpool player. We've made all the...
Yeah.
And we had
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quite come to an agreement in terms of the fee, but it was never going to change. We all thought it was a done deal. Why does it go on? Why not
just get it done?
Why didn't you do it at the start of that window? Everyone wants to wait till this last day of the transfer window. And I saw Brendan Rodgers interviewed the other day, and he looked actually like if he'd been kicked in the teeth. And you think, well, I'm, you know, again, we're not privy to what goes on behind the scenes. and who's, who does the transfer deal or whatever, are the owners backing him? Is it like 2 million?
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, of, in the position they're in, you've got to back the manager.
But what's happening now? We're panicking at the end of the, at the end of the transfer window. Yeah. We're panicking. We're, you know, we might get Tom Ince. We might, you know, he might go somewhere else. But we're now panicking. Well, we haven't got anybody, and we're thinking, okay, are we going to keep with the squad we've got?
According to the papers and his agent, it was his dad. Tom can go anywhere he wants.
You know, so
but as long as we don't just.
What
buy,
sort of a player do we need?
You tell me.
Yeah, we need.
Who do we need?
Obviously, yeah. Ben will say, "Well, we could do two or three at the end of the day to make us a squad that's really have a chance of maybe winning it."
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, don't buy just for the sake of buying.
That's right.
That's the only thing I would say. Just because you've been disappointed with one, if you haven't got a target.
Yeah.
Put your money in the bank till maybe.
Yeah.
And put them as a manager. Yeah. You never know how long you'll last anyway. But
I know it's
frustrating for him. I'm not sure he'd been backed on that, and that would be a worry.
Yeah, it's a horrible window to do business in, isn't it? Because obviously inflation.
I've always said that. I've never liked it, but then we did get Suarez out of that.
Yeah, we did.
Well, and Sturridge
and Coutinho. Like that, so.
But what I'm going on to say is. You know, I said it about Manchester United. I just feel when you put yourself in a really decent position where it looks like you're going for the league and maybe the Champions League, this window is vitally important, I feel, because if you put you in a strong position to bring players in, if you don't make that Champions League place at the end of the season, then all of a sudden you're in a different shot window looking, aren't you?
And maybe the 2 million that actually might have had to pay.
Yeah.
Might look like
so.
In, you know,
is this a very, very important, not just for Manchester United? And I actually think they've done a fantastic bit of business with Mata. But do you think Liverpool are in that bracket as well? Because if they don't bring in quality players in this window, and they don't make Champions League football, then where does that leave us at the end of the season to bring players in? The kind of players we want to bring in, because we just go back to them.
I agree, because again, you look at the bench yesterday,
It wasn't a great.
It's not a great in depth in there, whatever. So you look at that. Okay, we've got players injured.
Mm.
Okay, will they come back? How soon will they come back? It seems to be taking a lot of them. Like Enrique's been out for a long time, whatever. So sometimes you've got to buy something just to lift the spirits. If you can get something.
But then that goes back to what you were saying.
Don't buy unless it's better than what you've got. And people will say, "Well, that's easy for you to say, but you bought this and you bought that." But you know, sometimes you think that they're going to be better. But in your own mind to manage it, if you haven't really studied it, if you haven't really been looking at the guy, don't just jump from one to the other, because it doesn't happen.
But do you not see where it takes you sometimes, Roy? You know, like last season, Arsenal went out and spent whatever on Ozil, 50, 60 million quid. Man United have gone out and spent 37 million on Mata. Do we not need that type of player? Surely there are players out there.
Stellar signings out.
Well, yeah.
I agree.
Just a top player.
The only problem I say that is, and I agree, it's great, but when you're not in Champions League, there is a big difficulty in getting the stellar player, if you like, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
All the players from all around the world nowadays think Champions League.
Yeah, but at the moment, this window is suggesting, and the position we're in is suggesting we are maybe going to get Champions League. Yeah. So now then players, just say for instance, if you want to bring, say, Royce in or one of them players, and they're looking now thinking, well, yeah, they've got a chance of Champions League football, I'll go there. But you come the end of the season and you aren't in the Champions League and you go to Royce, do you fancy it? And he goes, well, it's not really, you're not in the Champions League, because these players now, they want to win things. It's not about the money. They're on 200 grand a week.
It's still about the money, don't worry about that.
Well, there's an element to that. But there is a big element now and a big thing about winning stuff and winning the Champions League, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you ain't going to attract them stellar signings unless you're in the Champions League. And I think Liverpool, I think the owners, I think you're right, I think Brendan, there was a slight frustration with him the other day.
Why do the player have to look at Liverpool and go, it's a gamble for the player to be. Well, the player will think it's a gamble and the agent will think it's a gamble. Liverpool, they're on the fringe of it. Hey, I mean, we are in the top four, obviously, but we're looking to be a good team. But it's still not, I wouldn't say it's a definite certainty we will be in there.
Yeah.
We all hope it will be, obviously. But the likes of Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, this moment, you know that they're going to be Champions League.
If you're the owners looking at it and you think, right, we're in this position now, we've put ourselves in a very, very strong position, right? Window's still open. If we don't make Champions League football, right, we're going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One. we could possibly lose Luis Suarez too.
Yeah.
Our capabilities of bringing in top players, because we're not in the Champions League, is going to be very limited.
Yeah.
What do you think, right, like you, Al, I'm going to buy Stella Sanon and I'm going to put the money into the football club now and protect that.
Yeah,
it's still a slight gamble, but it's a gamble. It's worth taking, isn't it?
But are they prepared to take that? I don't know. When I saw
that's what I'm
Brendan
asking,
Rodgers the other day,
it doesn't look like it, does it?
He looked to me a little bit downhearted about the transfer window. He was disappointed that certainly didn't get the Egyptian lad. But from there on, it was like, you know, what am I going to do next? Where can I go? You know, it's as a manager, I mean, okay, you don't expect to get everything you want. Like kids at Christmas, isn't it, a bit really, but you expect to be backed.
I mean, I'm still getting an apple and an olive.
No, but you expect to be backed by the board of directors or whatever, or the owners in some cases. Yes, they'll say, well, okay, we've got to get rid of some as well, and probably we have, but it's a balancing act. We know.
I think if Brendan did want a certain player, whether it's a fullback, whether it's a central defender, whether it's a midfield player, I think he would go out and get that player. I really do.
Yeah, at what price though? Al?
I don't care what.
If he turns around and goes, oh, I need 40 million to buy a centre midfielder,
I think they should back him.
I agree, but do you think they will though?
But we didn't get this lad because of
a couple of million. Here you go.
Well, if that's the case, and we're interested in Tom Ince, who's a similar type of player, you know, what chance have we got if we're only going to buy those type of players? Nothing against Tom Ince, but I think we need the quality. We need the quality there to push us that level.
But you've got to spend big money.
But to keep us at that level,
you've got to spend big money.
Tom Ince is not a stellar signing.
But if we don't,
Tom Ince, I don't think will enhance the team.
No,
he won't.
No.
You're talking about your matters and players like this. Would you like to see him matter?
Yes, without a doubt.
You'd like to see any good player. Yeah.
What I mean is, like, there's got to be. I mean, you don't just go out and buy Mata because it's Juan Mata and he's a fantastic player. He's got to fit in.
I think so. Yeah.
I think you.
He'd have him in there because he can play anywhere. He can play in the middle, down the left, down the right. He can play anywhere.
All right, you sign Juan Mata, who misses out.
Well, that would be the manager's choice.
No, that's the question I just asked you.
No. If you're asking me, you wouldn't leave Coutinho out.
Okay.
Because he's a more creative player than let's say Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
So it might even be Jordan Henderson who would have to miss out. But then you're losing something from that side.
Look at the balance of the suspensions, injuries, different things. It makes your squad so much stronger. That's the biggest thing as well.
Yeah. Quality everywhere.
Just pause that. Is that half an hour? Okay, I just want to pick your brains early. You get through the Christmas period and you're sitting pretty. What do you look for then? Is it like consistency going into the April, the Easter period, just to keep yourselves in there? Because you look at Liverpool's fixtures now for February, got West Brom away and we got Arsenal at home, and then Fulham away, Swansea at home, and then we go on the 1st of March, we've got Southampton away. Like, you look at them, apart from the Arsenal game, you'd be looking at maximum points, wouldn't you?
Why are you looking at maximum points?
Well, you'd expect the way Liverpool are playing against them teams.
Yeah, but then you look at when we played against them teams in the past.
What I'm saying is,
going back to my time and times before when you had the teams of 65 or whatever, sometimes you may, the teams that you expect to beat are the ones you've got to be really careful.
What I'm trying to say to you is, you look at them fixtures through February, West Brom, Arsenal, Fulham, Swansea, take them four games. Do you think, as a manager, do you think I want 3, 6, 9, I think he ran out of fingers there, 12, are you thinking I want 10 points from them games?
I don't know. I wouldn't even look past the first fixture.
Okay.
A lot of managers do have targets. You say, well, our targets are them in this course of the season.
Yeah.
For me, I'm thinking, what's the next game? Concentrate on that. And, you know, then if you win that, then what's the next? And all you're trying to do is keep the attitude, get the attitude right. You know that when you played games, the same games, Albert, but you're playing the team that you expect to win. And because you expect to win, you have a little bit of a
Coventry
home.
The thing is, Jason, you slightly have a different mentality to what me and Roy have, because we think, as Roy said, the next game is important. That's the only game we should figure on and think about. And
no, I'm a big believer in
that. Yeah, but rather than thinking like four or five games ahead, think, well, we'll take ten, all of a sudden it becomes a mindset. If you lose 3 points in the
you
first...
You're panicking,
and you change, your whole mindset is different. The way the players are playing at the moment, you know, they can go out and play against anybody.
If they have the right attitude.
And if they have the right attitude, and probably win.
I think just talking about the fixtures, I've said it a couple of times this season, I think Liverpool have been really lucky with the way the fixtures have fell
this season. I agree with that.
I mean, you look again, they play, let's say, for argument's sake, we don't get anything at home to Arsenal. But then we go away to Fulham, which you thoroughly expect Liverpool to win. I know what you're saying before, but it's been like that all season, hasn't it? You know, we've had really a tough game, like the Arsenal game, and then it was followed
up
by...
It's catching teams.
Why do you expect not to get nothing at Arsenal?
Well, I don't, but...
So what do Arsenal think? For me, every game, I mean, on our day, if we play well enough... I mean, let's be honest, before last night's game, we all, like, with a bit, Everton, this is going to be a tough game. David Moyes didn't beat us at Anfield, I don't think, at any stage. New manager comes... Fortunately, I hope he has the same run as David Moyes, but to win 4-0 was like, none of us really saw that coming. I didn't see it, that's for sure.
And I think it's catching the team at the right time. You know, West Brom's and Fulham's.
We've had that as well this season.
That's right, catching them at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, you're beating teams that you might think.
Probably the only one we caught at the wrong time probably was Southampton. When they come to us.
That's right, absolutely, So West Brom's, the Swansea's, you know, they're. Even the Arsenals of the world, we're quite capable of beating anybody, at the moment. But
situations change, Al, don't they? Every you have a game, you win the game, and then you go to the next one. And then if you start thinking about the one after, and somebody gets injured, you've got a different mindset. You start going.
I just thought about.
I know you've got. Obviously, you're trying to plan your season. You're trying to manage your players more so these days in terms of minutes on the pitch. Everyone's trying it, but you know. You know, last year, years ago, they played more games, and maybe not quite as intense in a sense, but the pitches were a lot more difficult to play on. You never really see Luis Suarez not wanting to play in any game.
Mm-hmm. No, on any pitch. Yeah.
Different players, different metabolism, different things. You've got to look after it. But you know, game to game, I think is the only way to go.
It's just talking about playing teams at the right time. You look at Arsenal's fixtures. That's some run of fixtures they've got, haven't they?
I didn't see it.
They've got Bayern Munich, United, Liverpool, Munich again.
Yeah.
So it could be just a good time to play Arsenal as well, doesn't it? And obviously the draw last night against.
Yeah.
They've not brought in that striker they've been threatening to do all season. It could just be that time to beat Arsenal alone, couldn't it?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we've got a good record against Arsenal, maybe over the last couple of years, but we had a good.
Yeah.
I think you've got to believe them. You've got to believe you can beat the top teams. I mean, I didn't see the games against Chelsea and Man City.
Very unlucky.
I saw bits of them. I was in America and I saw some of the, a couple of bad decisions for me.
You're like Phileas Fogg, aren't you?
Well, I have to go on holiday occasionally. I'm retired.
A holiday? Have you had
more holidays than Judith Jamison? He's always away.
But a couple of decisions cost us a point or two. Different things.
So I think Steven Gerrard not playing in them games contributed to the fact we never got over the line.
Yeah.
I just felt that organisation and experience just to get over that line and finish that game off and close it in. I just thought that was lacking in them games, which highlights again that they need that leader.
I know it really sounds stupid, but I think last night's game will have done Steven Gerrard a whole lot of good.
Yeah.
He's had a bad spell, but he hasn't been at his very best. He's been. By his own standards, I'm saying that.
Well, he sets such a high standard.
But last night, again, in that position, he was certainly more commanding and certainly ran the show from a different position than he has before.
And certainly Steven Gerrard, I mean, what a fantastic gesture he's made. Something else he gave away, not just a penalty last night. not give away a penalty in the sense of he fouls on, give away a penalty as he gave it to Daniel Sturridge, but what a fantastic gesture to the Hillsborough Foundation, giving 96.
And he thanked the Everton fans as well, didn't he? And he's just an all-round great lad. You know, he has a foundation which is fantastic.
And I know he doesn't want it highlighted. He said he wants it, but footballers take tremendous criticism these days, don't they, for the things they do off the pitch. sometimes it maybe it's something like this that needs the credit it deserves, doesn't it? It'd be nice to see it on the front page of the paper.
It's less and less actually footballers. The footballers now have learned that there is a 24/7 media coverage on them. I think now they are behaving in a better way. But you know, like you say this, it was great that he mentioned the Everton thing because, you know, on the day of the Derby game, he donated his money, he said, but we've had fantastic support of Everton over the... If you go back to the last Hillsborough Memorial Service at Anfield,
That's right.
The Everton chairman got up and he spoke absolutely fantastic things about it.
Yeah.
So, last night we're rivals and we come out on top.
Yeah.
But I think it was great to remember that we stood side by side for many years over the Hillsborough stuff.
Yeah. I think it's, I think, Roy, it's like a gesture which a lot of football players do as well, don't they?
Yes.
And managers, you know, they've done that. So
Rafa put money in, and again, it's fine. Obviously, it's great for the Hillsborough Foundation when they get that. I mean, we do ourselves. I mean, maybe not as big a gestures, but we try our best, and whatever we can get, we put into the Hillsborough Foundation.
We'll wait for your donation, will we, Roy?
Well, I haven't worked for a long time,
because you are retired
sometimes
now.
Sometimes the donation can be time as well. You know,
you're on holidays at the time. Sorry about that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, just to finish off, I think we'll just touch on all things football and obviously the headlines today. Let's have a look at the headlines. Nicholas Anelka set to play for West Brom. How do you feel about that? Do you think it's just something that's been blown out of proportion, the gesture that he made and the FA stepping in?
Well, then, and if you go back to just the Luis Suarez thing, the original supposedly racist bit, at the end of the day he gets like blown out of the sky. John Terry didn't get anything because the police are there. Somewhere there's got to be some consistency somewhere at the end of the day. I don't want to get involved in what goes on in that political side of it, but if that gesture is seen to be wrong, then I think the FA have got to do something about it.
Real Madrid, they've made the semi-finals of the Copa del Rey. They've seemed to have clicked in. Are they your outside bet for Champions League, or are they the favourites?
I still think the German clubs are favourites. German football's on a high at the moment. But you never discount Real Madrid. They're a fantastic team, and they are playing.
I think Atletico Bilbao might be a decent outside bet, might be there on fire.
Yeah, I think it's great that, to be fair, that there's so many. There's different teams in there. I mean, obviously, we had Barcelona and we had Real Madrid, and we had a nice little spell of English clubs winning it. But it's nice to see the Germans coming back into that. Nice the way they not only play the football, it's the way they run their football clubs. I think that's a lesson for a lot of people as well. So, and the French are trying to get in there with a little bit of
Monaco.
I'm just wondering, Jason, we're talking about Arsenal. I loved Arsenal in the competition because they got beat, and then they win in Dortmund. I think they won in Dortmund. I thought, what a result that was. It seemed to kickstart their season, but they went on to win games all the time. And I think winning is a great habit, isn't it?
It becomes a mentality, doesn't it?
Yes.
But just touching on Madrid, Ronaldo, Ballon d'Or for you, right decision?
I think so, somewhere along the line. I'm a great Messi fan. I love Messi. At the end of the day, he's terrific. But to be fair to Ronaldo, he's plugging away, just plays the game. He's a great player, I would say. Yes, this year.
Yeah. I think right decision.
But
right decision, yeah.
If it comes to next year, and our guy keeps playing like he is,
then
there, I hope somebody, but don't be able to start saying yes, but yeah, he had this.
What about
this?
Isn't it funny how the team, the Ballon d'Or team, gets picked? And there wasn't a Premier League player in it. Did you notice that? Does that suggest the Premier League's looked upon as not being as glamorous?
No, I think every player outside of the Premier League would like to be playing in the Premier League. I do, honestly. I think even players in Spain or wherever.
I wouldn't say every player. Nowadays there are better leagues than there were. Certainly, I mean, the German league, Italy's making a comeback, isn't it? Trying to make a comeback. That's for sure. The Italian league years ago was a
I'm not sure after in the German league after Dortmund and Bayern Munich. What's
the
offer?
There's a few Leverkusen have done over the years and bits and pieces.
Yeah, they're all right.
There's
all
more
right.
there than there was.
But
I mean, who picks these teams at the end of the day?
It's
international
managers.
Yeah.
Captains. And
Sepp Blatter. Or Sepp Blatter or Platini, something like that.
The Teletubbies. Yeah. They have a vote as well.
You know, that I'm not a great lover of Teletubbies. The establishment. When it comes to picking these things at the end of the day. I mean, I read the end of the day in one of the papers that I said, well, obviously, if you're a player, you're not going to vote for a player from another. Yeah. If you've got a vote, you're not going to go against the opposition. And you, for me,
it's what's political.
Well, when we used to do the PFA team, I used to vote for all the Irish players.
Yeah.
Apart from Roy Keane. Anyway,
Let's just leave it on that. Last question.
Prediction. West Brom away. New manager. Shane Long gone.
I still think Liverpool will continue their good form. Confidence wise, that they'll be good. 2-1 to Liverpool.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Brendan's got a bit of work to do. Yes, great win, fantastic.
Bring him back down to
forget about it. It's gone. Did the old Ronnie Moran thing. Hey, by the way, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's the most important. And I think if he gets that bit right, and the lads listen to it and go out and put in the same performance, then yeah, it's a win for me. I think we can win it again 3-1 now. I'll go that way.
All right, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. Just before we go, though, just a reminder that if you go on the Five Times website or even on the Twitter feed, you can pick up information about. About a couple of things that we've got going on, a couple of things in the pipeline. We've got a talk in Birmingham with myself, John Aldridge and John Barnes, and plus myself again, Man in Demand, Robbie Fowler, Stephen Manor, over in Norway doing Bergen and Oslo. Gaffer, you got something coming up?
I'm going to Indonesia, I think, just over there, but I'd just like to say, by the way, how well the Hilton Hotel looks after us.
Yeah, they've been fantastic, yeah.
Coffee, tea, biscuits, and
I've had a breakfast as well, by the way. Nobody knows. Don't tell them.
No, Bill. That's
well, you've just told the world there, haven't you? And you've lost 3 fingers eating them biscuits.
Well, but it's lovely. I'm enjoying myself, and it's lovely to talk to two well-known characters in the game.
Well, Robin and Roy. See you later.
The legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre Dublin, Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, fivetimes.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. fivetimes.co.